We're going to talk today about bringing sight to the blind. Amen. You know, but I want to tell you a little story about a man who, he was a genius about covering things up. His name was Edward Teach. How many of you guys have ever heard of him? You've heard of him. He was more commonly known as the feared dread pirate, Blackbeard. Ooh. Now you've heard of him. How many of you guys have heard of Blackbeard? He was a real man in the early 1700s. He was one of the most feared pirates to ever rage the Atlantic Ocean. He used to rob lots of Spanish and American and early English trade ships between Spain and England and also Jamestown or Virginia area back and forth to England in the early 1700s. Isn't that a good history lesson? It's awesome. Well, you know, there's a documentation about Blackbeard one time that he was a master of covering things up. One time he yelled up to the crow's nest, you know, the little niche on the top of the chinggis on the boat, you know. And he's talking to the young dude up there and he goes, "Hey, tell me what you see." Or more like, "Arr, me matey, what do you see up in the crow's nest there?" Right? The young buck, an ear, because they call them buccaneers. I call them bucks. He yells down, he's like, "I see two boats coming there, Captain." So Blackbeard yells to another private next to him and he goes, "Fetch me my red coat." The young buck is like, "What? What's he need a red coat for?" So he blasts off and he gets his red coat and he comes back and he hands it to his captain and the captain puts on the red coat and they move into the engagement and they win. And the young buccaneer comes to Captain Blackbeard and he says, "Captain, what did you need your red coat for?" And Blackbeard looks at him and he says, "So if the enemy see me get struck with a knife or a blade and I bled, no one would know I was a bleeding because I had my red coat on. So they wouldn't try to get all fired up and take over me ship." So he wore the red coat so if he got stabbed, no one would see him bleed. He was the master of covering up. So in 1718, there was a man by the name of Alexander. He was from Virginia. He was the governor of Virginia. And he was getting pressured by the English Parliament to rid the coastline of the piracy. And so he gets a guy by the name of Hyde, Captain Hyde, and not Jekyll, but Maynard. Okay, Maynard. How are you doing, Maynard? Now we know where it came from. Captain Maynard and Hyde. That's a hick name if you guys don't know. But not then. It was a cool name then. So they get a fleet of like 100 ships and they set sail to go get Blackbeard. So Blackbeard is there and he can tell something's on the horizon. And so he yells up to his little monkey man up in the crow's nest and he says, "What do you see there?" He said, "Captain, I see 100 ships armed to the tooth coming for us." Blackbeard turns to his young officer and he says, "Go fetch me my brown pants." Sorry. Sorry. He was the master of covering up. "Go fetch me my brown pants." Sorry. Sorry. I've been wanting to tell that joke forever. I know I gotta tell really long jokes. It's just the way I do them. He was a master of covering up. How many of us, I know this is a crazy transition, master covering things up in our lives, right? We got hurts and wounds in our lives. We put on our red coats. We put on our brown pants. That's gross. But those of you who do it, don't knock it. Don't knock it till you try it. So seriously, you and I, every day, will figure out clever ways of covering up hurts and real hurts and real wounds in our lives. Sometimes we do them with humor. Sometimes we do them with just a mask, a false self, a false person of who we really are. We just put it forward and we pretend like, oh no, everything is just peachy. Everything is just perfect. I'm not real. I haven't really been stabbed in the heart. You know, it might, you know, just put my red coat on. Cover that sucker up, right? So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. I'm excited about the word tonight, even though I started with the brown pants joke. God will recover it. It can only go up from here. You are right, James. It can only go up from there. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. If you got it, say, I got it. Somebody slap your neighbor and say, get there. Don't slap them too hard. Verse 27, as Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered into the house, the blind men came up to him and said, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, it shall be done to you according to your faith. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them so that to see that no one knows about this. So they went out and spread the news about him throughout all the land. Pretty obedient blind men. Praise God. That's not what my message is about. But let's pray over the word. Everybody ready for the word? You ready to receive the word? You ready to be different than the way you came in? All right. You ready to stop covering up the hurts and the wounds and the brokenness in your life? And ready to change. Amen. Are you ready? Say amen. Come on, I want some interaction tonight. I don't want to be all lonely up here tonight, all by myself. I get lonely. Amen? So let's pray. Woo! Father God, we just come before you now. And we just ask that you would pour out your spirit on your word. We ask that you would have your way in our lives. God, we pray that today would be a new day. God, that there would be new life poured out into our hearts. God, that there would be new wine poured into our lives, Lord, that we would be full of your spirit. God, encouraged to face those hurts, wounds, the broken things, the things we cannot see, the blindness in our life, Father God. Reveal it to us. Open our eyes so that we can see. Lord, by your precious son's name, amen. Amen? All right. So we got two blind men and Jesus walking down the street, right? So there are two blind men and Jesus walking down the street. Two blind men crying out to Jesus, what? Son of David! Have mercy on me. They're following him through the street. It's obvious he's not really paying attention to them. Because he does one of the meanest things I've ever seen Jesus do, and he ducks into a house while two blind men are looking for him. I mean, that's just crazy to me. He says he goes into the house. Two blind guys are yelling for him, Jesus, Lord, help us. And he jumps into a house. They're blind. They can't see him go in. So what do? It's like the next second. They figure out where he went. Somehow, they figured out how he got where he went. They're probably knocking on other dudes' heads and like grabbing their ears and pulling at their cloaks going, where did he go? Which way did he go? So they end up in the same house with Jesus, right? I don't know why he did that. Maybe they knew. Maybe he pulled them in there. It doesn't say, but I like to pretend like he snuck in. He might have just been testing their faith to see how bad they really, really wanted to be well. How bad do you really want to be well? See, this is some great things about these two blind men that I really love is that not only do you see their heart of desperation for the Lord, right? They're ready for God to touch their life and to be healed of their brokenness. But it's obvious to the blind men, right, that they're blind. If you were blind, do you think you'd know it? Do you think you'd know it? If you could never see anything, what would you call yourself? Blind, right. But what if, let's just say, you met a blind guy who would just walk up to you and you'd be like, hey, are you blind? He'd be like, no, dude, I'm good. No, I can see. He's like, no response. Do the little eye test. I mean, you know, flashing light bulbs in his eyes, nothing. You're getting zero. They're glazed over. He's like, no, I'm good. I can see. I'm not really blind. What would you think? You're crazy. You're lying to yourself, right? You're blind. You need a dog to walk you around, right? You got a cane. You're blind. Well, how do you not know that you're blind? See, one time I had my son, and we're driving in the church van, and he gets up, and we're driving, we're going on this sledding trip, we're doing a youth event, maybe some of you guys were there, I don't remember, but we're up at Hatcher's Pass, and we're doing a sledding trip, and so we're driving, and we're going back and forth, and we're picking up kids from the sledding hill, and Caleb's riding in there with me, and he gets up out of his seat, and he walks up out of the seat while we're driving in the car, and I kind of had to stop, and he falls forward, and he hits his knee on this metal bracket that was on the fastened to the floor of the van, and he splits his knee like wide open. Well, guess what? The first thing is that happens when he split his knee open. He falls to the ground, right? And of course, I stop and he covers it up and he holds on to it as tight as he can, right? And he starts screaming. Ah! And he's pushing on it. So I get the van stopped and I turn around. I'm like, Caleb, are you all right? He's like, oh, Dad, right? How many guys have you done this before? This has happened to you. He's like, that was me. You know, it might have been something different that did it, but you're like holding on to it. And I'm like, Caleb, pull your hand away. I need to see it. He's like, I'm like, why? He's like, it hurts. I know it hurts, but I need to look at it. No. Yes. I got to see it. He's like, no. Why? It hurts. You don't want me to see it because it hurts. He's like, yeah, it hurts. So let me, it can't get better until I get a chance to look at it. No! It hurts. Right? So I gotta explain to him, Caleb, look, there could be rocks stuck in your knee. I don't know what's in there. It could be really, really bad. I might need to go get you stitches, right? But I won't know how severe the wound is unless you let me see it. And so I finally get him convinced to pull his hands away and I can look at it and see the seriousness of the wound. And it was pretty bad, but, you know, we had some band-aids or whatever. And we, you know, I took out my sewing kit. You know, I just sewed his knee up. No, I got friends that are like that live out in the woods. They're crazy. Yeah. Sewing kits on them. So if they cut themselves, they can sew themselves up. Yeah. I'm not like that. So I didn't have a sewing kit, but I did have a band-aid. And I know how to use those. And so I stuck the band-aid on his knee, and fortunately it was good enough. I assessed accurately on how to help heal my son's knee. Amen? But how many of us in our lives? We're not like these two blind men. We're like the blind guys that we don't want to see our own sin. We don't want to look at our own brokenness because it hurts, right? It hurts to look at something that's broken in your life or a wound in your life. And you just want to cover it up and put pressure on it and try to pretend like it's just going to get all better as long as you just hold on to it. But there are some wounds in our lives that won't heal themselves. They need assistance. They need aid. They need help. And they need someone else to take a look at it so that it can be addressed properly and healed. Amen. So we got to be willing in our own personal lives. When we look at our sin, when we look at our own hearts, we've got to be willing, one, to not just hold on to them so tight and be so either ashamed or embarrassed or so caught up in the moment of the hurt or the wound that we don't allow someone else in to really know who we are, to really see those hurts and wounds in our hearts. to really see our sin. They call this transparency, that we're open enough that others could look into our hearts and see those hurts and wounds and help us work through them. You know, we can't go this walk in our Christian lives alone. If we go alone, in Ezekiel, it says that a man who falls out in the woods all by himself, he's in real trouble, right? If you're out in the woods and a tree falls on you, does it make noise? Absolutely. If a tree falls on you and you're all by yourself and it makes noise and it's on you and there's nobody else around, are you in serious trouble? You're going to have to get your pocket knife out and like cut your leg off by yourself, right? And one hop it all the way out, right? That's nasty. It's gross. But you know, we can't isolate ourselves in our Christian walks and cover up our sins and wounds and hurts. Because if we do, we will be in serious, serious trouble. You guys following me? Amen. So these two blind men, they were willing to look at their lives and willing to open their hearts. And they didn't care if people around them knew that they were blind. They're yelling in the middle of the street, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, I mean, they're probably stumbling all over everything because they're just going after Jesus. They don't care. They're bumping into people. People are probably mocking them and saying, "Shut up. I'm trying to sell my chicken. You're just getting in the way." Right? Get out of here. But they didn't care what anybody thought about them. They didn't care if people knew that they were broken. You know, we've got to be willing to look. You know, how many guys know that when you look at your hurt, like if you skin your elbow or your knee or something, you don't want to look at it, right? For a while, you like cover it up. You're like, and then you're like, oh, and it hurts way worse when you look at it. How many guys know what I'm talking about? Right. Reed and I were going to eat one time. We're driving this little Miata, and we're right in front of Applebee's. And this chick, this little girl, you remember this? This little girl and her friends are riding on their bikes. She's probably 10 or 11 or something. She's wearing a little tank top, you know. Something happens, and she goes headlong right over her handlebars. And I mean, face plant. Asphalt, dude. Her whole shirt is just her hands all over her chest. I mean, everything, dude. She stands up. She's sitting on her. And then she goes. Ah! Do you remember that day? Dude, we were just like, ah! Oh, my gosh. But she was kind of okay until she goes. Ah! She saw the damage. I'm sure that was a really bad day for that girl. I felt so bad for her. But Reed and I went and got a burger. That was you, wasn't it? That was you, wasn't it, Reed? I think it was you. If it wasn't Reed, it was somebody else. I'm almost positive it was Reed. I'm pretty sure it happened, too. I swear that was you. I should have asked you beforehand. So I think it was Reed. If it wasn't Reed, then it was some other guy. Maybe it was James. But when we get hurt, we don't want to look at it. When we know there's sin in our life, we don't want to look in the mirror and see it, do we? When we know or we think we got a big boogie in our nose and it's been in there all day, you dread looking in the mirror to find out that it really was there. Right? You look, you're like, oh no! Dude, I was talking to that cute girl. There's a boogie in my nose. Right? I swear she was going to go out with me. No, she wasn't, dude. There's a boogie in your nose. It's true. You know, when we think there's something wrong or there is something wrong with us, we don't want to take a good, hard look at ourselves. Because when we see it, it hurts more, doesn't it? It hurts more. But I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to have the heart of the blind men. Know you're broke. know you've got real wounds and hurts in your life, and be okay with it. Embrace it. You know what? You don't want to live with it, but you need to be encouraged to just get after the wound, that hurt, and run to Jesus with it. See, if you don't know what it is, if you're not aware that you're a blind man, you'll never ask Jesus to heal your blindness. If you're not aware that you've been wounded by your parents or your brothers or your sisters or your dad or that creepy guy down the road, I'm serious. If you're not aware that you're really hurt, or you're not willing to look at yourself and tell yourself the truth that I'm damaged, and be okay with it and know that your God has made a way for you. He's made a way for you to be well. He's made a way for you to be healed. Yeah. He's waiting inside the house for you. He's standing there. And he's waiting for you to come in and say, Son of David, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. You've got to come to him. Have mercy on me. I'm blind. I need healing. I'm wounded. I'm willing to look at it and say, I struggle with pride. I don't know everything. I struggle with hypocrisy. I struggle with lust. What is it? What is it in your life? I struggle with gossiping. I struggle with forgiving others. Man, I just cannot forgive this girl. I cannot forgive this guy for the thing they did to me. Stab me in the back. Kick me when I was down. Right? Spit Cheeto puffs right in my face. Whatever it was. I hate it when people do that to me. Blow cheese puffs in your face. It's the worst. Come on. People do the ridiculous. We get offended about the most ridiculous things sometimes. Don't we? If you ever stop and start listening to some of the things that we get offended about over the lunch table, or, you know, we're sitting around at the family turkey time, and what happens, man, it's like, well, I can't believe Uncle Bob, you know, he didn't call me on Christmas time. Well, I can't believe Aunt Jill, she just ran over my cat and didn't even stop. You know, well, he didn't shut the door when he came out of the bathroom or while he was going to the bathroom. I can't believe that kid. Never puts a seat up. Never puts the seat down. Never puts the toilet paper back on the roll. Never flushes the toilet. Never changes his socks or his underwear. But we get offended about the most retarded things. Right? I talk about some of the most retarded things. Just to make my point. Yes. But you know, if we allow these offenses, these hurts, these wounds, this bitterness, this anger, this hatred, this violence to stir up in our lives, and we're not willing to take a peek and look at it and expose it and come before the Lord specifically for the thing it is. Lord, you need to forgive me. Come heal my broken heart of bitterness. Heal my broken heart of unforgiveness, right? Heal the wounds in my heart from what this specific person did to me. Or God, forgive me for falling short. How many of you guys know that we all fall short? How many know that we all have sin? Is there anybody in this room that has not sinned? Big surprise. So why do we all got our brown pants on? Why do we all got our red coats on? How come we're not willing to expose or just be real with each other about the sin in our lives? And just be like, you know what, man? I'm just not perfect. I just don't have it all together. And just be okay with that. Instead, you know, we're like that little girl on the side of the road that wrecks her bike. And when we look at our wound, or someone exposes it to us, that, look, dude, you got a wart on your face. We just get all freaked out and angry that someone else would point out an imperfection in who we are. You know, when I'm saying those natural things, I'm really, you gotta get me. I'm relating them to a spiritual thing that we need to grow in. Like, you're struggling with pride, you're struggling with lust, you're struggling with, stealing or any kind of other thing that violates God's law, right? If you're violating God's law and you have a brother or sister around you in the church that comes to you in a godly way and says, hey, look, I love you. You know, I see this sin in your life. Or you hear, you feel the Holy Spirit convict you as you hear a message. Oh, wow, boy, I need to grow in that area. When we were talking about commitment, when we were talking all about character the last year, the message has been very convicting. When you hear those, do you get just freaked out and offended? Or do you go, Lord, praise God that I know? Because if you don't ever uncover the wound and take a good look at it, you'll never know what it takes for it to be healed. If you don't know what the real sin is, if you don't know what the sin issue is, if you don't know if it's unforgiveness or bitterness or anger, right? Or self-hatred or rejection. If you don't know what it is, you won't know what to bring to the Lord. So look, you've got to get your heart set on knowing, being aware of who you are, of all the hurts and wounds of who you are. Go after them with excitement. And when you discover there's sin in your life, praise God about it. Say, God, praise God that I know now, that I'm aware of that hurt and wound. And that I can take it to Jesus. That you can run like the blind men through the town and find him. Whatever it takes, get on your knees. See, the great thing is Jesus isn't a man anymore. He doesn't live in that man body anymore. He's in the glorified body, right? And he sent the Holy Spirit to us. That we can access him anytime. We don't have to go running through the street, knocking on doors to try to find him when he's hiding from us. He doesn't hide from you. He can't hide from you. He's everywhere all the time. Anytime. Ran out of words. Needed to be three. There was only two. It's okay. He's everywhere all the time. And he has all the power to heal you. And so guess what? You can just get on your knees. You can go to your friend and say, look, I'm really struggling with this, and I need you to help me through it. Let's pray. Lord God, forgive me for this. Heal my heart. It's that easy. But if you won't expose it, if you won't uncover it, if you'd be like the kid that just keeps his hand pressed on the wound and never allow anyone in, and when they start getting there, you're just like, just bite their hand off because they're trying to help you uncover your wounds. Man, you're not going to get anywhere in your walk. You have a destiny. You have a great thing that God has purposed for you to accomplish, but you can't do it if you're wounded. You can't do it if you're mortally wounded. If you have been damaged in such a way that you're just not going to be able to fight. You're going to bleed out. And it's a serious wound. You're not going to make it to your destiny if you're not willing to allow your heart and your wounds to be exposed before the Lord and healed by his power. What do they do? And what does Jesus say to these two blind men? Right? What does he say? He says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? He asks them directly, do you believe that I'm able to heal you? Now, I know a lot of you have brokenness, but how many of you in here are blind? Nobody. Whew. It's awesome. Nobody's blind. But how many of us today are blind to things that maybe not might not be physical blindness, but there are areas in our life that we don't see? You don't know what you don't know. You know? You just don't know what you don't know. I don't know what I don't know. You know? So how are you going to know what you don't know? You don't know. Check it out. We're all blind in areas of our life, and we need others to help expose those areas of blindness and say, look, you're blind. You can't see this part of your life. Reed has been this in my life. My wife has been this way in my life more than anybody. She's like, dude, you stink. I'm like, really? Really? Yeah. Everybody knows it but you. You really stink. So I started washing. It was a great idea. I mean, deodorant. Beautiful invention. I knew nothing of. But my wife had the courage to expose it, my blind spot, that I was smelly. And now everybody benefits from that. Some people exposed in my life that I was extremely unorganized, and it was actually to a point where it was sinful. Well, guess what? I didn't know this about myself until others began to expose it to me. And if you have the courage and the humility to be able to receive that, see, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know that I was terribly unorganized. I mean, it was obvious to everybody else. And see, that's the thing about our hurts and wounds, guys, is we don't know a lot of these hurts and wounds and these blind areas. But it's so obvious to everybody else. And so if you are willing to allow people into your heart and into your life, I'll tell you what, all of a sudden, they're going to have the open door to expose these blind spots to you. And if you have the humility, you'll be able to take those blind spots and just run to Jesus and allow Him to transform and heal your heart. Is that exciting to anybody in here? Come on, you don't have to live the way you are right now. If you're wondering why you've got a ceiling on your walk with God and why you can't grow anymore, look, you've got a blind spot. It's something you don't know. You don't know. So you need someone else to help you know what you don't know. Help you see what you can't see. It's perspective. God has created us for community to be knit to one another. And we need to receive sight. You need to receive sight in your blind spots. I've been almost run off the road many times by gigantic trucks that I end up hiding out in their blind spot. And they don't know what they can't see. And so they just come right over and steamroller right over me, right? How many of you guys have ever been in a situation like that? Where somebody just, you're in their blind spot. Okay, in our lives, we've got these blind spots, and we just change lanes right over the top of somebody and just casualty. We're like, I didn't know I hurt anybody. I didn't even know they were there. You know? You just tell them, whatever. We got these blind spots in our lives that honestly, they don't only hold us back, but they offend other people. They hurt other people's lives as we change lanes without being able to see in those blind spots. But man, you get somebody else in the passenger lane. You get somebody else looking out that window before you change. Hey, is there anybody over there? Right? Hey, when I change lanes, you know, what should I be looking for? How come I keep hurting people and running people over in my life? Now, I'm just going to go on a tiny little tangent here is that, you know, problems seem to follow certain people. And usually those certain people are totally unaware that no one else usually has that many problems. And that gossip or drama, how many of you guys ever have people that you know that drama just follows them everywhere? Yeah. You're like, good loving. It's just always drama, drama, drama. It never seems to end. Right? Why is that? It's because they've got blind spots. They don't realize they are the drama. It's them. Offense is who, it's them. The drama's just going everywhere with them. And you know what? You don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. But you've got to allow others into your life. You've got to be willing to open up those places of your heart and allow people in. Amen? And when you see it, you've got to praise God and be excited and go running after Him so you can be healed. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Look, we all know that we're all broke. We all know that we've all blown it. So we all got sin in our life and hurts and wounds. So let's just get excited about the fact that when our sins and wounds and hurts and all this kind of stuff is exposed, that we can be healed, we can be redeemed, brought into right standing, because Christ has already paid the price for that. He's already taken the beatings and the wounds so that you can be healed. You just need to access it. Amen? But if you're not aggressive and you don't go after it, you're not going to reach it. You're going to stay blind to all those things. These blind men, they knew their condition. They were aware of their brokenness. You got to be aware of your brokenness. They knew who Jesus was. They knew that He was the Redeemer. They knew that He had the full power to heal them. That's why they went after Him with everything they had. You've got to know who Jesus is. You've got to know that He is the healer, that He can make and fix all of the broken things in your life. He can take and redeem it. No matter the stinkiest thing that you have done, the worst thing that anyone has done, He is the ultimate Redeemer. He can take that broken, hurt, wound, that thing that the enemy meant for evil, and He can turn it to good. Now, you might still suffer the consequences of that sin, but He can still redeem it so it can be an agent to build His kingdom, so that it can further you towards your destiny. None of those things can compromise your destiny, because your destiny is who you are in Christ. So as you allow God to transform your heart, guess what? That's your destiny. Your destiny is the sin and the brokenness in your life being healed, and you being that healed person in God's kingdom, wherever you are, whether that be in jail or whether that be out here in the free land, right? Europe, Africa, Asia, Asia Minor, Brazil, Cambodia, Nikiski. God bless those chemical plant folk. Amen? It doesn't matter where you are. It matters who you are. And you can't go around as some wounded, broken up, blind person. That's not what God intended for you. He intended for you to have sight, to be healed, to be well, so that you can be the destiny. You can be what He shaped you for, what He willed you for. Amen? That good? Can you receive that today? Come on. Okay. You believe God is good? I mean, really. Do you believe He's really good? James 12 says this. "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire," say, "my own," come on, say, "my own evil desires." Oh, yay, I love those. "He is dragged away and enticed. Then, after the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So everybody say death. And then go. It's just fun to do that when you hear the word death. I don't know why. "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Are your hurts God's fault? Are they? Yes or no? No. They're not. Because it says God doesn't change, right? He doesn't shift. And every good and perfect gift comes from heaven. Comes from Him. So can your hurts and wounds, can your sin come from Him? Where does it say the evil desires come from? Where does it say death and sin when it's full grown becomes death? Where does it conceive? Where does it come from? What did the word say? It said by your own evil desires. Whose evil desires? Your own. When bad things are happening around me, and there's brokenness, and I'm hurt and wounded, is not God doing that to me? No. It's not God being a big meanie and beating me, trying to get me to do something. No. No. God's good. When? All the time. He doesn't shift and change. So those things that are good are from God. And those things that are bad are from our own evil desires or Satan. You got to make that noise when you say his name too. Right? They're not from God. Evil things, bad things, brokenness, that doesn't come from God. So when you're looking at these things, you can't get mixed up. You have to have discernment. You have to be able to discern what's good and what's evil. When you see sin and brokenness and you take a look at that in your heart, you can't be blaming God for that. You got to blame the devil. And you got to blame other people's evil desires. See, because birth out of those things is what gives birth to all this death and brokenness and hurts in our world. So when you look at your sin, when you look at hurts and wounds, you look to God for healing, and you know He didn't bring that on you to bring judgment. It says that He tempts no man. He can't tempt people with evil. Those temptations don't come from God. We know that God will test our faith, but that's not with evil and broken and hurting things. You know, if your brother died or if your sister was hurt or, you know, assaulted or something, God didn't do that to test your faith. That has nothing to do with God. That has everything to do with evil and these evil desires coming to birth. And see, for God, it was all worth it. And you've heard me preach this before because all of that brokenness was worth it so that you could have a free will relationship, a free will choice to choose Him. But in that free will is the choice to choose evil, for those evil desires to give birth. And when those things give birth, they produce brokenness, guys. And we get hurt. We hurt others. But we got to be willing to take a look at those. We have to get our discernment out. We got to have it ready. We have to be able to divide between what's good and evil and not be blaming God for brokenness and hurts and wounds and then turning away from Him when we're hurt and broken and messed up. No, we have to take the hate, give it to the enemy, right? And turn to God and run to Him with our broken situations and believe Him and lean upon Him for our healing. Amen? Amen? So will you stand with me? We're going to close. Look. We're about to go to camp. And a lot of stuff shakes out when we go to camp. I mean, we're going to have deep, intimate spiritual times. Some of you, it'll be the most intimate spiritual time you've ever had with the Lord. And guess what? Things are going to get exposed. Your hurts and wounds, the Lord's going to like be prying your fingers open going, come on, just open your heart to me. But if you go in with expectancy, if you go into camp and the next couple weeks right now, expecting that God is going to expose those hurts and wounds, not just to make a fool of you, because He doesn't do evil things. He wants to expose them so that you can be healed. So that He can do surgery on your heart. So that He could come in and heal that thing and bring his presence in there and transform and lift and bring out and deliver you from all of the oppression and all the hurts and the wounds in your life. Amen. He can do it. He will do it. He's done it in many of the people that have been through our ministry. He's done it in their lives. Many of them are here today or have gone on to serve the Lord. Why not you? Why not this week? What do you have to lose? You've got to realize you're like the blind men and you want sight. You want to see. You've got to get aggressive about your walk with God. And you got to be ready to go after that thing no matter what it costs you. Who cares if people are mocking you as you run down to the altar and you open your heart to the Lord? Who cares if other people know that you have been struggling with lust? Who cares? You know, when Jesus had the woman who was caught in adultery standing before all of these Pharisees, and they brought him to her and said, this woman was caught in adultery, and according to the law, she should be stoned. But Jesus draws something in the sand, or things in the sand, and nobody really knows what he wrote. But maybe even the sins of the people that were there, nobody really knows. But he tells them, look, the first of you that is no sin in your life, you cast the first stone. And guess what everybody did? They all hightailed it out of there. And the lady was left, and he said, where are all your accusers? They've all gone. He said, get up and sin no more. Look, there's forgiveness for our sins. Nobody is here to cast stones at you and judge you for your sin. Look, we're here to come to the Father. We're here to come to Jesus' feet so we can be healed of our sin. And who cares if other people know about what we've done? You've got to get past that. You've got to be desperate and see that it is worth it to be healed so that you can move forward into your destiny. Because listen, your destiny in this generation is to be the army of God and to transform the nations for Him. Look, God has promised that your generation will have every gift that you need to be able to conquer the nations for Him and to bring in the great harvest. You got to be well. The only way to get well is to be willing. Willing to run down to the altar with your heart open and ready to receive His love and His healing for your personal hurts and wounds. Amen? So you guys want to be well? You guys ready to just get healthy? Okay. Tonight, I just want to pray and close. I don't want to leave you with the opportunity in your heart to just stir up that expectancy and get to camp. You need to get to camp. And you need to bring your friends to camp. And you need to make sure that every friend that you have that's really broke and really needs Jesus is at camp. Because it's going to fill up and we can only take so many. And you don't want to miss out on what the Lord has for you. So tonight, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to encourage you to just be asking the Lord to reveal in your heart the hurts and wounds and the brokenness. Amen? And to give you the courage to be able to take a look at those things and not freak out. You don't need to freak out. You don't need to freak out. You got to have courage. Let me pray for you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that brings life, that renews minds, that transforms hearts, that heals hearts, that brings new life. I thank you for the power of what Jesus did on the cross so that we can have access to your healing power. Lord, in Jesus' name, I speak courage over these young people. I speak openness and transparency and desperation on their hearts to run after you with everything they've got. Father, bless them today. God, I pray that you would unite them as the army of God. God, that they would be an army for you that would be healthy and whole and well and full of gifts and graces. And there be not one thing that the enemy could rise up against them and hold against them, because they are willing to lay it all at your feet, God. I pray for that willingness to just stir up inside their hearts in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you. I love you today. And I love you tomorrow, and I love you next week. Do you have something you want to share? You do? Sweet. Well, you got to stand up here with me. Well, you can walk up here. All right. This is Tanner Adams. Now, some of you don't know Tanner, but I love this guy. It wasn't very long ago when this guy was just some punk, and now he loves Jesus, and God's been totally transforming his life. So anyway, let's hear your testimony.
Whatever you're wanting to say. Okay, well, I kind of feel like God, there's some people here tonight that when, like what Josh is talking about, how you're afraid that people will know what you struggle with, what your problems are. People are embarrassed here tonight. They don't want people to know, well, I'm hiding this, but the reason I'm hiding it is because I don't want anybody to know it. And it says in the Bible, I don't know exactly where, I'm going to be honest, I don't know everything. I don't know exactly where it is. But
big surprise.
It says somewhere that you need to confess it to another person. You need to confess your sins to another person. So I'm just encouraging you today that you need to confess. If you have something you're hiding and you're wanting, you feel like you need to get it out, but you're embarrassed, you're afraid they'll laugh at you, think it's funny. You know, what's your problem, dude? Why do you struggle with something like that? Just go up to him and somebody you trust, somebody you feel comfortable with, and just say, hey man, I want to get this off my chest. I just, you know, I feel like, you know, maybe I should say something to somebody else. You know, personally, I struggle with lust. How many of you guys struggle with lust in here? Come on. Honestly. Seriously. Okay. That is not that hard to say. That is not that hard to say. Honestly. Now, there's other things people are hiding. There's people in here that are hiding some things that are maybe even less than that, and they feel like, well, What if they think it's kind of funny? What if they think it's different? What if they think nobody else struggles with that? Everybody struggles with lots and lots of things. There's all kinds of things that people struggle with. And I guarantee you, if you struggle with it, there's somebody else out there that struggles with it too. There is not one single thing you struggle with. There's things that everybody struggles with. So just go up to somebody today, with the next week, just go up to somebody and say, you know, hey, I want to get this off my chest. I guess Josh has the reference.
Man, that's great. That's a good word, Tanner.